Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, Tiger fans. You know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While other services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Hey, Tiger fans. It's Billy P. from the D and Chet West, your co-hosts of The Litter Box. We are coming off a 4-game home stretch against the Cleveland Guardians. Chet, just give me off the top, before we go game by game, what are your overall impressions and thoughts on this series?
Well, I think what we're getting to see here is the Tigers could be a team that, while we have been playing at what I would call our ceiling for the first 2 months of the season, we've seen a few looks at what our floor can be. And it's a young team where I would have expected us to be far more inconsistent still. Even the good run at the end of last season, what have you, I still didn't think we were going to come out and be world beaters like we've been so far this year. And to be honest, I think we kind of needed a series where we got ourselves knocked in the chops a little bit. And we got it here against Cleveland. I mean, they came out, they beat us badly in game one. Game two, they handled us without problems. Game three took a little longer, but they ended up being the winners in extras. So I just think maybe this was a good, I don't want to call it a wake-up call, maybe a little kickback to reality here for a team that probably has been playing more at their ceiling lately. We're going to see the floor, and I think the floor is down there for a young team like this.
So I have 3 thoughts on this and a lot of frustration behind this. Number one, we haven't seen a 3-game losing streak since the first 3 games against the Los Angeles Dodgers, defending world champions, in LA to open the season. That made sense. The ironic part is the Tigers were competitive in all 3 games. That wasn't necessarily the case in at least one of these games the past 4 days. Part 2 of this is the Guardians were the team that knocked the Tigers out of the postseason last year. Part 3 would be that I believe that we are going into the 10th year of utter dominance of the Guardians over the Tigers. And that's something that I can't quite put my finger on. I know why the Guardians are good. What I can't figure out is why the Tigers can't find a way to beat them. We'll go into that later after we do the game-by-game recap. If it's okay with you, I'm going to get your thoughts after I just kind of do a quick rundown. Game one was a 7-0 beatdown, and the Tigers had ample opportunities because Cleveland scored 2 runs in the 4th inning, another run in the 5th, and then 4 runs in the 9th. But at that point, the Tigers were, their bats were flaccid and nothing was happening. And really, the game came down to this. The Tigers in the bottom of the 3rd had 2 men on, and Kerry Carpenter struck out swinging, and that basically just put everything to bed. And then in the bottom of the 8th, Jehan singles. Trey Sweeney goes to 3rd, Javi goes to 2nd. So bases loaded. It's a 3-0 deficit at this point. Everything's ahead of you. There's nobody out. And then Badu strikes out swinging, Z-Mac strikes out swinging, Riley Green strikes out swinging. And that was your ball game for game one. What thoughts do you want to add?
I think something that's become very interesting to watch is the ebb and flow of Riley Green this season. He just had the worst series he's had since that Minnesota series a while back.
Yeah.
He went 0 for 12. He had 6 Ks. That's not good. That isn't. And you know, everybody wants to put Riley Green in there as their MVP, their team MVP. I don't think so. He may be an all-star. He's obviously a talented player. When he's on, he's on. And he can do damage. But as I said to you today, he's no Jose Ramirez. Now, granted, there aren't a lot of those guys, okay? There aren't a lot of Jose Ramirez in the league. I mean, you're talking probably a top 8 hitter in the league in Jose Ramirez, and doing it year in, year out, consistently. And that's going to be what I preach here, is consistency. This Tigers team is not a consistent team, really, even in their identity right now. Here they were, being very patient at the plate all season long. In this series, not so much. A ton of Ks. I think that we're just going to see a little ebb and flow. And you know what? They're allowed to have a bad series here and there. But like you, frustrates me that it's against the Indians. All this good play, beating up on all these teams, good and bad so far. I mean, we've handled the Yankees. We've handled, we played, as you said, competitively against the Dodgers. We've handled a couple other teams like the Red Sox without issue that are going to be probably postseason teams. But yet we get the Indians and we look like we don't even belong in the ballpark with them. I can't wrap my head around that. They just seem to be our unicorn.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be, you know, the kryptonite to Superman, the Achilles heel, however you want to phrase it. 12 strikeouts cumulative for the Detroit Tigers in game one. Moving on to game two, it's a 3-1 loss for the Tigers. And again, the story of this is 9 strikeouts. Torque had 3 himself. Trey Sweeney had 2. Colt Keith had 1. And Badu had a golden opportunity with 2 men on, get the Tigers ahead, and struck out. At the end of this game was batting 118 with a putrid 343 on base plus slugging. I don't understand, with all the options AJ Hinch has and replacements coming on the way, why Badu is getting the long look. I know he had 2 amazing fielding plays in game one of the Blue Jays series. That was last Friday. This is a week later, and he's not hitting, and he hasn't had superlative fielding efforts, nor has he been asked to. But that's just kind of my thoughts. Go ahead.
I have a thought about this Badu thing. I'm wondering if he's getting some time right here before Bearling comes along, because of the fact that he may not get much time after that at the big league club. I'm wondering if AJ's like, let's bring Badu over, have him get a couple at-bats at the big league club, see what he's got going on. Otherwise, I can't figure it out. The guy is not. He had the one good showing, and it was really luck. I mean, we got him as a Rule 5 pick from the Twins. He had never sniffed. I don't think he had ever sniffed anything above AA. Really no reason that he should have been playing in the majors, other than the fact that we were just a bad team at the time when he came along. And he had a couple of good months, and he has somehow hung around. It's like a union agreement or something we have with this guy. Why does he have to be playing at the major league level? Because I don't see much. He does do some things defensively that are pretty good. So fine, bring him in as a late inning replacement. I don't need him in the lineup behind Andy Ibanez. And I know Ibanez does hit the righties well or the lefties well, but I don't need those two guys at the end of the lineup anchoring the lineup. They're like a black hole for productivity. And I think it hurts the people around them a little bit too.
Yeah, speaking of that, so he had 3 at-bats. one K, Baez had three at-bats with a K, and then Ibanez had three at-bats, didn't strike out, you know, in that game.
But didn't get
a hit. If we can talk about pitching a little bit.
Yeah.
It was the first time this season that Jackson Jobe started for the Detroit Tigers, and they didn't win. He did take the loss, but he pitched well.
Five innings, good game.
Four hits, two runs, both of them earned. He walked two, struck out three. He was solid.
That's a typical Jackson Jobe line right now. That's like every game for him, and I take that all day long from a rookie starting pitcher. I take that all
day. My guy, Tyler Holton, 1.2 innings, one hit. 2 Ks. He was solid. Bo Brisky, I was wrong about. He pitched an inning, one hit, one walk. He is getting that ERA down inning by inning. And then our guy Chase Lee, 1.1, two hits, one run, one earned, 2 Ks. Again, pitching was not the problem.
No.
In this game whatsoever.
We held them to three runs. You win a game. If you have any offense, you'll win a game when you hold the other team to three runs. I wouldn't count this against the pitching at all.
You know who killed us this game, though?
Your guy, Stephen Kwan.
Three hits,
one run. The Kwan is with you.
Yeah, I know. It stinks being right sometimes, you know?
3 for 5.
Yeah, he had a really good game. He is such a good player.
It stinks being right, but when you're as good as Stephen Kwan, he's going to get you in a series. So,
oh, of course.
Good prediction, but
it was safe.
You can go that far. You didn't pick Daniel Schneeman to get us, I noticed. It was Stephen Kwan. But good pick either way. You're right. You get Ramirez with his triple there. He goes 1 for 4. It's a low-scoring game. But when we had to go up against their pen, Hunter Gaddis, very good reliever on the fantasy squad. I like him a lot. He went 2 innings, gave up a hit, 2 Ks. He had a 2-inning hold. Emmanuel Clase, one of those guys that's like, you're not going to touch him. When he's on, you're not going to touch him. He kind of reminds me of like an Aroldis Chapman circa, I don't know, 10 years ago. But he's one of those guys who's got a great stuff and closes out games, very reliable. Slade Ciccone, interesting fact, there's only been two Major League Baseball players named Slade. Slade Heathcote, Slade Ciccone. This is the other Slade. Other than him having kind of a cool name, I don't think he's had like an incredible season so far. Think we could get more than we got off of a Slade Ciccone, but apparently we couldn't. We hit him pretty hard here and there. Carp hit him pretty hard a couple times, but we did not yield any productivity, and that's sort of sad. I would have liked to have seen him take game two just to make a statement, if nothing else.
Emmanuel Clase, for whatever reason, started slow in April. Mm-hmm. And has been back to being the best closer, if not relief pitcher, in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Not named Tyler Holton, of course.
Certainly best in the American League Central. Nobody's touching him at this point.
Yeah, he is.
Although they've got a guy named Cade Smith who's also pretty lights out that closes games out with Hunter Gaddis. So you're going to run into some really good relief pitching on this team, as we saw in this series. And they kind of shut us down when they needed to.
Yeah, I know you and I both said that a split would have been very reasonable in what our expectations were. Going 1 for 3 feels really bad, and here's why. In game 3, the Tigers had it all before them, and they ended up losing in 10 innings, 7-5. And part of that is that they gave up 11 hits. Shouldn't give up that many hits. They only walked 2. They struck out 9. So again, it was one of those games that was there for the taking. And using your ceiling floor analogy, I think we saw this team's floor, you know, kind of bottom out.
They put 5 runs on the board, but yet they still played a bad game. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And Casey Mize, I mean, it wasn't like Casey Mize. Again, another good start. Casey went 5, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, a walk in 6 Ks. Casey Mize deserves a better outcome there. Coming back from injury, he did what we would have wanted him to do.
He had a really good game, and so did Torres. Torres, he was up to bat 5 times, but he walked 3 times, so it only counts as 2 at-bats. He had a run, 2 hits, 2 RBIs. He's been a machine this season and a great 1-year signing for the Tigers. Is it too soon to think that possible extension, and what would be your interest on that? Because it does impede on Colt Keith's development, which is starting to concern me.
I don't know if the value's there to extend. I kind of have this feeling we're getting probably
Torres's grand finale here on his career. He's probably got some seasons left, but I think he's going to be a little journeyman type thing. And you know how I feel about his edge game, his taking the extra base and playing that AJ Hinch ball. He's not fast enough. And he's a second baseman. This guy isn't a first baseman. He's not a catcher. He's a second baseman. We need somebody who can run the bases. He gets runs into way too many outs. And I complained about this to you today. I know. I don't see him. I see his level of play degrading as we go forward and not getting better. So no, I don't want to invest.
Yeah.
But he has been good for us for what he's been, the rental.
He's been great, I mean, thus far.
Yeah.
And a steal for what the Tigers are paying him.
I agree.
That being said, if he does one more base running mistake, which he will,
maddening.
It will absolutely drive me bonkers because this team is so smart in how they run the bases. They're first in Major League Baseball, getting from first to third. They are last in stolen bases, so they're very deliberate when they do decide to use their speed and attack the base paths. Outside of our mustache catcher, Jake Rogers, everybody else, even Torque, can run the bases very, very well, above average, except for Torres. And yet, for some reason, he seems to think that he still has a little Tim Raines, Ricky Henderson, Willie McGee in him and can, you know, steal the bag.
And like so, I was saying, he may go somewhere else where they...
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Have a different game plan, and they're not trying to get that extra base all the time. But he doesn't fit that game on the edges game plan that Hinch likes. So I just don't. Yeah, he may not fit.
And so I thought of something going into the series, an old Ric Flair quote, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Cousin Nick and loyal listener Andy Roberts are both big wrestling fans. So I thought I'd drop that for
him. Give a little woo. Give a little woo for Ric Flair.
Yeah. It was all, you know, the series split was there for him in game three, and they just couldn't capitalize. Moving on to game four that just happened this afternoon, the Tigers won 5-0 and improved to 34-20 on the year. Tarek Skubal was nothing short of amazing. And here's a little trivia for you. How many times has Tarek Skubal pitched in the ninth inning in his career?
I don't know. I can't wait to hear the answer to this.
If you answered one, and that being today, that would be the correct answer, which is
he wanted it.
Absolutely, positively outstanding. I'm glad that Hinch gave the bullpen a day off. Skubal deserved everything in terms of the bouquets, kudos. The crowd was chanting, Skubal, Skubal.
We're getting the best of him right now. And
we
that's
really
good.
Are.
This is what we need. And he's, I mean, the guy is out there. His K-strut after, I think he struck out the second batter of the game, Gabriel Arias, and had this beautiful little K-strut around the mound, just peacocking, all his colors showing. I was like, oh my gosh, Skubal is going to roll this game. And he did. He got like through five innings without a hit.
He struck out 13 today, which also tied a career high.
Yeah.
He allowed two hits. His ERA is now down to 2.49.
You could tell he wanted it. He wanted to be the stopper to show that he's the stopper ace that every team wants. And that is what he is. That's part of being an ace is you're the stopper. When things start going on a slide, when things get bad, you can bring him in for a start, and he's going to shut the other team down and give your offense a chance to win the game. And to be honest, for a little bit there today, it looked like our offense was going to let the thing go. I said, I'm like, please don't spoil this.
Yeah. Again, only 4 walks for the Tigers today. 8 hits total. 2 of those walks came from Torres. He also had a hit. Our guy, Andy Ibañez, you know, the Barry Bonds of right-handed pitching, got a hit. Riley Green was all over the place today. He had 1K and he did walk once, but I'm with you. His peaks and valleys are getting a little maddening and frustrating.
Right.
Torque was his usual self. He has a hit. Jahan had a good day today. And
I'll debate that because Jahan did something early in the game that angered the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And it's seared into my memory.
It was a hit and run and he hit it. exactly where you're not supposed to in the hit and run.
He put it right where you don't.
Yeah.
Torque got pulled off second. It was just a bad it, and it really wasn't Torque's base running fault. Torque is taught to run on that.
No,
second and third, no outs. You got to go behind the runner, Jahan. He's got to hit the ball to the right side of the field there. And if Jahan's going to be, we've seen him in the leadoff spot, if he's going to be the artiste hitter up there with the great approach at the plate, and he's not going to be a power guy, he's got to learn to hit situationally. He's got to polish up his situational hitting. You can't hit the ball to the shortstop there. It's literally the only place in the diamond you can't put it. I'd rather he'd struck out, to be honest. Everybody says, no, you put the ball in play, never know what will happen. Well, that was bad. It was
not
a bad
that
result.
Time. It was bad.
And then
he
drove
did get
me
benched
crazy
after that, and Trey Sunio was brought in to pinch hit for him and play shortstop, which moved Z-Mac from shortstop to right field, which means that Z-Mac has now played 7 positions this year.
That's amazing.
Which means he's played all 3 outfield positions and all 4 infield positions, save pitcher and catcher. That being said, Z-Mac had a great day today. Walked once, okay. 2 RBIs, a hit, and a run. And Javi got another knock as well. So let's talk a little bit about WAR.
Can we talk about Z-Mac for one second? I just have a little factoid I want to throw out there.
Sure.
I learned this today. Did you know he was a Chippewa? He's a Central Michigan Chippewa.
I know he is from Toledo.
He went to high school in Fort Wayne, but he graduated high school in Fort Wayne. He
Didn't
went
he grow
to Central
up in Toledo,
Michigan.
Though?
I don't know. Did he grow up in Toledo?
That's what they said today on the broadcast.
Did
but
they?
No.
No, he went to school in Fort Wayne. He went to high school in Fort Wayne. But I was sitting here looking at this after the announcer said, hey, it's a Central Michigan Chippewa. I think it was Benetti called it out on the radio broadcast.
The radio broadcast was way better than
way better.
The Roku, I don't know what was going on with that. They had a mixed booth of half Guardians guys and then half. And the only common sense thing they said today is don't put ketchup on a hot dog. But
yes.
Anyhow, highest WAR, according to Fangraphs, right now through the season, Scooble at 2.1, Z-Mac at 1.6, Dylan Dingler, our guy, 1.6.
He had a good series.
Spencer
Dylan still hit this series.
Torkelson, 1.5, Riley Green, 1.3, and Javier Baez, 1.3. So, interesting. Just
it's one of the other things that we don't mention, Zach McKinstry did not have a good series either.
No.
His first 3 games, he had nothing. So he got the home run today, which is nice. That got us going. I give him a tip of the cap for doing that. But he was also producing nothing in games 1 through 3. And so when you have McKinstry and Green not producing, and they've been 2 of your bigger producers on the team, like you're going to have to find it from somewhere else. And I know like Torque is good for a hit every game. And, you know, maybe Ibanez and Baez has been had a couple stringing together, a couple multi-hit games. But I don't know how much we can rely on them to crank out the hits or have the big games. They're usually the one-hit guy or, you know, Torque will get a homer like he did in the second game. Our only run came off of a Torque homer. But where do the hits come from if McKinstry and Green aren't getting them? And look, I know everybody loves Matt Vierling. I think everybody thinks he's going to be the savior in this lineup. No. Matt Vierling is an okay baseball player. He's fine. He had a great season last year. He has not lived up to his billing that he had when he was a prospect with the Phillies. I have not seen anything yet that tells me that everybody thinks this is this huge addition. He's another piece in the puzzle. That's about it for me. We'll see.
Okay.
I hope he proves me wrong.
On that note, I did question why he was batting leadoff today. I don't know if it was to try to get him more plate appearances, but it seemed like a really gutsy move by Hinch, knowing that you needed to have this win today. He is batting 100 right now. Again, small sample size. He just came back. Yeah. He's still probably getting the rust out. His on-base plus slugging's 200, which is abysmal. And again, he was up 5 times today, struck out once, and did nothing aside from that. I'm with you that we kept saying, hey, reinforcements are coming. Is there really that big of a difference between him and Andy Ibanez?
Really not much, to be honest.
I mean,
and people will say there is, but they're really, at the end of the day, he's not Aaron Judge. Everybody's acting like we got Aaron Judge coming back from the lineup.
So on that, I'm glad the Tigers, and I know you are, salvaged a win out of it. Scooble was nothing short of amazing. And it leads me to believe that this team, what they truly need to really raise that ceiling and also raise the floor is they need another veteran bat. Like, we need another Torres-type guy. I personally think for this to be a 90-win plus, you know, I know which way they're trending right now, but I don't feel very confident if they had to go up against the Yankees in a 7-game series, if they had to go up against the Guardians in a 7-game series, if they had to go up against the Astros in a 7-game series. In a 3-game series or a 5-game series, I think they can compete with anybody. But the 7-game series, you know, when you get to the ALCS, is really going to be where the rubber meets the road. And I would really like to see another bat brought in. That's just me. What are your thoughts?
So I'll throw this at you. I had a friend of mine, Mr. Andrew Birchfield, ask me this past week about Rafael Devers and the Tigers' ability to work a trade out to bring him on.
I was thinking the exact same thing and talked about it with a neighbor the other day. That's hysterical that you guys were having a similar conversation.
And I said to him, we'll have trade deadline talk pretty soon. You know, I don't know. We'll see. And I didn't really give him a response on Devers. Bregman just suffered a very significant quad injury,
yes,
by the way.
And I can't say, I never want anybody to get hurt, but I can't say
I know.
I shed a tear over that.
I know. This is supposedly similar to the quad injury that kept him out for almost 60 games in 2021. So
it doesn't look good.
Rafael Devers might become the key piece. I mean, he's had a great season so far. He's a key piece regardless for the Red Sox, but he might become an even bigger piece now with Bregman out of the lineup. They did call up Marcelo Meyer, who's their stud top prospect. And I will be very curious to see how Marcelo Meyer fares in the big leagues. I like following all these guys and just seeing how they kind of pop when they first come out. But Rafael Devers, I don't know what we'd have to give up. I mean, we're playing these trade games now on social media for the Tigers. And I think the most recent one I saw pop up a lot this past week was the Paul Skeens. What would it take to get Paul Skeens to the Tigers? Don't be dumb, people. Okay, I don't want to do that. If people were lining up the names, it's like Max Clark, McGonagall. I mean, it's basically our entire minor league system. And Theron Lorenzo, it would take all three, four, or five of these guys. I am averse to investing in young starting pitching. It just seems very, very risky. So, Bill, who would you like to see the Tigers go after? Considering Devers is probably off the radar now.
I've got a name for you. And I think we could get them for reasonably inexpensive. Okay. Two names, actually.
I think
the Brewers are going to fade, and I think they're going to be sellers. Christian Yelich and Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, Rhys Hoskins is somebody that could probably do some damage for us. Christian Yelich, I don't know about Yelich. I just don't have, he's been really up and down over the last, he was great. Years ago, 6-7 years ago, he's been really up and down since. But Hoskins, I could be interested in Hoskins. He plays a bat that might play pretty well for us. You think we need a hitter? You're good with our pitching going forward.
Well, I'm absolutely good with our pitching going forward. Should I not be good with our pitching going forward?
No, I'm just saying, I just throw it out there because you went straight for hitters in offense, and I get it. Yeah, I think I don't know. I really can't wrap my head around who would be a good trade target at the moment.
A Cedric Mullins from the Orioles.
He'd be pretty good. He'd be all right. What I'd hate to have seen him do, I'm really glad they didn't get Santander. You know, Anthony Santander was like on their list of guys that they were entertaining in the free agency, but Bregman took too long and Santander got sucked up by Toronto. And he's been absolutely horrible for Toronto. Remember how bad he was in that series?
Yes.
And the announcers were just like, he can't find it at the plate right now. He has totally faded. I'm so glad they did not sign him. But Cedric Mullins, I'm entertained by that. And, you know, there's a couple Orioles. I don't know if I'd give up the boat for any of those guys. And I don't know that the Orioles are going to be trading away a lot of their young guys. They still have tons of control over. What about...
He's not young. He's 31.
No. Oh, Mullins? Yeah, I know. I'm not worried about... Yeah, I'm thinking about other guys.
I was looking everybody above the age of 27.
What about, like, Mountcastle?
Potentially. I mean...
He's a name that maybe... Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like the Tigers now have a gluttony of pitching and the ability to possibly make a trade with that. So looking ahead, we've got the Giants coming to town. 1:10 Eastern, 12:10 Central tomorrow, and then 6:40 or 5:40 Tuesday. And then, fortunately for the Tigers, another 12-10 or 1-10 start on Wednesday because the Giants have a travel day. So the pitching matchups are pretty good. We've got Hayden Birdsong against Montero tomorrow. And then we've got Mr. Jack Flaherty, who some people are starting to think there's some issues with.
Well,
against Logan Webb on Tuesday. Meaning some of the listeners have reached out and are asking what our thoughts are on what's potentially wrong, so on and so forth. Landon Raup against Jackson Jobe on Wednesday. What say you, Chet, about what you think may or may not be wrong with one Jack Flaherty?
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and get into the fact that Jack Flaherty has something wrong with him at the moment. I think, like we said before, he goes where his fastball goes. So if his fastball is not getting located, Jack doesn't have a lot of success. And sometimes he tends to put that fastball right over the meat of the plate and people pound it. He does have a little hard contact on him. I'm not mailing him. I'm not shipping the guy off yet. Okay. He's still on the boat. He had a nice start a few starts back. And his last start wasn't all that bad either. I don't know that we have starting pitching that, you know, you get Skubal out there. He does a great job. Of course, he's incredible. And then the rest of our staff is like, I think everybody kind of would fall in as another team's number four, maybe a three. I don't see Flaherty a number two on most staffs. Let's put it that way. Okay.
No, he certainly wasn't that with the Dodgers. He was a four or five.
Yeah, exactly. So you're talking playoff baseball, which we're doing right now because we're the best teams in the league. You got to get a number two. You got to get a number three. We got like a bunch of fours in Skubal. So no slight to Jobe and Mize, who have been great, but they're probably fours on the cusp of being a three. Flaherty, I think, is going the other way. I don't know why he's the number two starter on this team. And maybe he really isn't at this point, but I'm a little sour on him, too. I don't know. I don't want to ship him off. I just don't think he's a two.
Yeah, and he's someone that we've got control of for the next couple of years. Yep. So might as well, you know, keep him happy.
Who in the Giants lineup scares you? This is a bait. It's a little bit of bait on this question, but who scares you in the Giants lineup coming up?
Actually, nobody. But
exactly.
They're one of those teams that will grind out wins, and they grind out at-bats. They do all the little things well, and they're designed to play in a cavernous ballpark because Oracle, AT&T, whatever we want to call it, is very similar to Comerica. It's a pitcher's park first and foremost, so they will do the little things. First to third, they will steal a base when they need to, hit and run. Very old school National League, if you would, even now that everybody has a designated hitter. So it's going to be an exciting series. Food-wise, my favorite memory of Oracle AT&T Park is the garlic fries, not necessarily from a taste standpoint.
Okay.
But Gilroy, California, which is south of San Francisco, is the self-proclaimed garlic capital of the world.
Oh, wow.
And they put garlic on fries, and the smell is nothing short of amazing, wafting through the ballpark. And so that would be one of the highlights of going to a Giants game. They smell better than they taste, but I think that goes for French fries in general.
It's too bad we don't have the series in San Francisco this year.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, ballpark.
Well, I don't see them as far as getting off of the food, the San Francisco food, which I heard the sushi is actually kind of something different to have at a ballpark. I don't know if it's any good, but maybe you have more on that.
I don't go to ballparks to eat sushi.
No, that seems like a bad idea. The guys, I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good. You have your sushi at Oracle, whatever.
They do have another delicacy. It's a Central American dish, Orlando Cepeda's cha-cha bowl.
Oh.
So it's red beans and rice with mojo marinated chicken or pork and jicama slaw, and then a salsa bar to decorate your bowl with. I think there's also some queso fundido.
I feel like we're cheating at this point. We're not even doing an away game here at San Francisco, but we can talk about it. Since we're not going to get an away series with San Francisco, we should probably bring up their eats.
I mean, it's the best ballpark.
Yeah. We were only going to do it for the away games, but we're going to give you San Francisco's eats.
We don't go there this year.
So it's totally fair. I don't see anybody in the lineup scares me too much. Hilliard Ramos has been pretty good. Matt Chapman's always somebody you got to keep an eye on, although he's had a little bit of a slow start to the season. Maybe Willy Adames has actually been okay for them. Jung-Hoo Lee is probably the guy that would do the most damage to us. Young guy, I think he's in his second year right now. I think we can do well. I think we could get healthy on San Francisco. I don't want to get too aggressive with that statement, but I would like to see us take 2 out of 3 in this series. I think we can do that.
Do you think if Mike Yastrzemski's last name was Patterson or West, that he would? He's a big league player.
Yeah,
I feel like he gets more attention and hype because of that last name, unusual as it is.
You know who he reminds me of? A guy by the name of Matt Vierling, who's just a middling outfielder who gets a little more attention than he probably should. I think Mike Yastrzemski's actually been a pretty good player.
He has been.
In his career. Last name aside, he has proved that he belongs in the ranks, although he doesn't hit for high average. And he really doesn't hit for a ton of power. I mean, his home runs are in the upper teens each season.
He's a 1.5 tool player.
Yeah, he's got a couple tools, but he does not have, he certainly does not have his grandfather? Is that who Carl gives to him? Yeah, he doesn't quite have what his grandfather had in the toolbox, but he's a decent player, not a great player. And that's what I kind of feel about Matt Vierling. So there you go. There's your comp for those two.
Tiger fans listening to the Litter Box, we'll be back with you at the conclusion of the Giants series, probably on Thursday.
Everybody have a good Memorial Day. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
And thank you for those that served for your service. And we'll go from there. Talk to y'all soon.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.